Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Taoiseach has been told that the most vulnerable defective concrete block homeowners are losing out again following the announcement of the grants available under the SEAI scheme. The Taoiseach has downplayed the prospect of an early general election after moving the date off the budget. The uncle of a Derry teenager who died after taking drugs on a night out is warning other young people about the dangers of experimenting. And a Donegal haulier says further reducing the speed limit for lorries on the Lifford to Letterkenny Road would compromise road safety and lead to more rather than less tragedies. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. First in news though, the Taoiseach has been told that the most vulnerable defective concrete block homeowners are losing out again following the announcement that they can now avail of grants under the SEAI scheme. Last month, the Minister Eamon Ryan announced that households availing of the Enhanced Defective Concrete Block Scheme would have access to SEAI grants to improve the energy performance of their homes. This was then extended to homeowners who have already commenced remediation works. In the Dáil this afternoon, however, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says the reality is that affected homeowners who previously qualified for the Enhanced Home Energy Upgrade Values will not be able to benefit from the grants. Taoiseach Micheál Martin agreed to speak with the Minister on the matter.
Taoiseach, once again, your government has stumbled blindly into yet another defective blocks fiasco of your own making. I know this will probably annoy you and set you off, as you're convinced that the whole thing is sorted, Taoiseach, but I'm here to remind you again this week that it's not. 3 weeks ago today, Minister Ryan announced that SEAI grants would be available in a coordinated and specific way for defective block homeowners. Now it turns out that those who qualified for an enhanced home energy upgrades prior to this will not be able to carry over eligibility in the enhanced schemes. This, of course, targets the most vulnerable and socially economically deprived in County Donegal. As an example, the dry lining grant aid will be halved under this scenario, external insulation by almost 50%, and many other headings will see homeowners reduced by 20 to 30% on average. It's affecting those on working family payment, one-parent family payment, domiciliary care allowance, carers allowance, disability allowance. It's a known goal. And I wonder if you would speak to the Minister to make sure that it's actually changed and made more responsive.
Didn't quite pick up the specifics of the points you were making there.
The grant scheme is reduced.
But basically, grants of
up to people on defective blocks.
Grants of up to about 420,000 are now available for affected homeowners, depending on the works required. Under the scheme, and a report on the first 6 months of the operation of the scheme was recently prepared for the Minister, and it concluded that the scheme was operating satisfactory. Minor suggestions for improvements were made and are in the process of being implemented. I will talk to the Minister, ask the Minister to engage with you.
Eamon Ryan.
Robert Troy.
SEAI.
The Taoiseach has downplayed the prospect of an early general election after moving the date off the budget. Finance Minister Jack Chambers will announce Budget 2025 on October the 1st, a week earlier than planned. He says this is to avoid clashing with EU summits the following week. Taoiseach Simon Harris has denied it's a sign of an early election. It's a sign that an early election will be called at the end of October.
We're going to have an election next year. That's the plan. I've said it many, many times. It's my intention for this government to run its full term. But again, outside of the punch and duty theatrics of the Dáil, what people are much more interested in is the substance of the budget. What are we going to do to help make sure that the good economic position that we have here in this country, and we saw that with tax returns again yesterday, can be translated into real benefits for families, for businesses, for farmers.
Meanwhile, voters across Northern Ireland and Britain have been heading to the polls in what looks set to be an historic general election. A landslide Labour victory is expected. Among voters is John, who's originally from Ireland, and he would like to see Brexit overturned.
I don't think Labour are going to be any different because they're too shy of the closeness of the referendum. But like the thing is, from my point of view, I think Brexit was probably the worst thing that ever happened to the UK.
The HSE has once again moved to clarify the situation regarding the public health centre in Fawn after it was claimed yesterday that the centre is effectively being cleared out and patient files have been removed. It's been claimed the local public health nurse is being moved and that the centre will be closed. The HSE stands by its position that the centre is not facing closure. Donal Kavanagh has more.
The HSE says the public health nurse works out of Fawn Health Centre on a 9-to-5 basis on weekdays, but because the service is mainly delivered at home, the nurse will not always be available at the centre. The statement adds this is a pre-planned non-emergency service provided in the home or by appointment in the health centre by nurses who have the skill set to provide the appropriate care for their patients' needs. The HSE says the Fawn Centre currently services 20 clients. Where the client is able to come to the centre, they're encouraged to do so. Otherwise, the care is delivered into the home. Those who wish to contact the centre can do so by leaving a message on 074 93 31597 and they should be responded to within 24 hours. The HSC statement concludes that no complaints have been received from patients in the Fawn area.
The uncle of a Derry teenager who died after taking drugs on a night out is warning other young people about the dangers of experimenting. 16-year-old Caitlin McLaughlin died after collapsing at a music festival in Belfast last year. A woman is due in court later this month, charged in connection with the investigation into Caitlin's death. This week, a coroner said she'd taken drugs, including ecstasy and cocaine. Her uncle Mo says it's not worth the risk.
She was just a typical, lovely, happy, good-lucky girl. I'm doubting, suppose, what people do at that young age is maybe experiment or, you know, join in on what their peers are doing. So it's very difficult in that sense that she was just somebody that went out and tried it for probably her first time and is no longer with us.
A Donegal haulier says further reducing the speed limit for lorries on the Lifferty Letterkenny Road would compromise road safety and lead to more rather than less tragedies. It's been noted that a number of lorries have overturned or been involved in crashes on that road in recent months, particularly around the Galdena Manor Cunningham area, leading to calls for changes to speed limits on the route. However, on today's 9 till noon show, John McLaughlin of JML Transport said such a move could be counterproductive.
That particular road is one of the most dangerous roads in Donegal, to be honest with you, because there's that much traffic on it. But there's not that many lorries on it. There's actually less lorries on the road now than there was before. But what the problem is people passing lorries and overtaking lorries is only allowed to go at 50, 55 kilometres an hour, and chatting now about cutting that back again. Everybody keeps saying, oh, cut down the speed. But if they cut it back anymore, the speed limits are on, and we bring the speed limits down now from 100 to 80, 80 to 60, 60 to 40. To me, there's going to be more deaths in the road, because that's what's going to happen, because people will not sit behind lorries. But that bit of stretch road from Lufford to Letterkenny, there's definitely somebody going to get killed there very short.
The legal age for buying cigarettes and other tobacco products is on course to rise from 18 to 21. Health Minister Stephen Donnelly brought a bill before the Dáil today to increase the age restriction. It comes in response to a slight rise in the number of people smoking in Ireland since the COVID pandemic. Minister Donnelly says this is about moving to endgame in the battle against tobacco.
The purpose of this measure is not to further regulate tobacco products. It's to begin to eliminate them from our lives and the lives of our children and young people. It is, to use the public health term, an endgame measure, signalling the beginning of the end of tobacco in our country. We know it will work because we have evidence from others and modelling evidence as well.
A West Tyrone MLA is seeking a meeting with Western Urgent Care, the administrator of the out-of-hours GP service in the Western Trust area. Malisha McHugh says Sinn Féin locally has been contacted by staff members who say they are facing possible redundancy or having to retrain for new roles because of difficulties in filling all available GP shifts, particularly in Strabane and Limavady. He says those affected include call handlers, receptionists and drivers. Mr McHugh says he wants to discuss the concerns of workers and the community with management.
I've been acting along to some of our local health centres, and I can see even the stress that frontline workers are under. This part of it is beyond me in terms of just fully understanding why it is that they're looking at this in the context of making redundancies and or offering people sort of retraining and the likes of it. It's the strategic planning and performance group who basically are responsible for that side of the operation. And I've requested a meeting with them, and I'd like to find out from them just the core of the issue here.
It would seem on the face of it that if they can't get the GPs, if they can't get the staff, if they feel the need to either lay off people or retrain people, they don't have the resources to actually have a fully staffed GP out of our service. They're going to have to find those resources from somewhere because it is very much an urgent need within the community.
Yeah, and thankfully, just even there recently, as yesterday, our finance minister had again alluded to the additional allocation and that to health, even though that a greater part of that is probably not directed at out of our service per se, but and other aspects of health provision. Health provision in the north of Ireland has been greatly underfunded over this last 14 years, in particular under the Tories and Elizabeth, and that's only but evident now in every way. That when it comes to every aspect of the service, it just seems to be crumbling down around us, you know, so that something drastic probably needs to be done there.
A man arrested in Derry yesterday has been charged with assaulting two police officers. The 33-year-old was arrested after a report of a man shouting obscenities on Foyle Street in the presence of children. He's due to appear before Derry Magistrates Court tomorrow. He also faces charges of disorderly behaviour, resisting police and possession of a Class B controlled drug. The awardees of this year's Tip O'Neill Irish Diaspora Awards have been announced. They are Armor Aina native Caroline Gallagher, US-based Billy Higgins and investor and entrepreneur David McCord. The award ceremony, which commemorates the birth of Tip O'Neill, who served as Speaker of the US House of Representatives, will take place on September the 27th. Eamon Torsney has more.
Caroline Gallagher grew up on Aranmore Island and is now based in Chicago. She launched the Coogan Gallagher Scholarship in recent years for Leaving Cert students from the Garum School, Aranmore. Billy Higgins, born and raised in South Boston, Massachusetts, USA, is a businessman and community leader who's renowned for his charitable endeavours and the founder of the South Hill Children's Fund in Boston in 1985. He has done immense work in supporting the education of children with special needs both in Boston and Ireland and has donated to the Patient Social Fund of the Balladurg Preschool for Children with Special Needs in Donegal. Finally, David McCourt, the founder and chairman of Granahan McCourt Capital and the chairman of National Broadband Ireland, which is working with the government in the largest public-private partnership in European telecoms, is to be recognised.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. From rebounders to goalposts, find everything you need to play your best at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll begin with soccer, and there's a full round of fixtures in both divisions of the SSE Airtricity League tonight. Finn Harps are back in action in the first division as they host Kerry in Ballybofey. The Southerners won the previous contest between the two sides 2-0, and former Harps player Joe Boyle says Kerry have made huge strides this season.
Kerry certainly have improved this season. You know, they've taken the learning from last year where they've had a couple of really, really difficult nights last year, but they're much, much improved this season. And when you go through and check and look at the results, you know, for the season, they certainly have stepped up and they've done really, really well. So tonight, it's going to be a difficult night for Harps, you know, coming off the Longford result last week. It's going to be important now because Kerry are sitting bottom, although they've improved, they are 12 points behind Harps going into tonight's match, and it's an important one for Harps. If we can get a positive result tonight and hope that Bray drops points against Longford, but you know, to stay in that playoff position or in round that playoff positions is really, really important.
Meanwhile, Derry City will look to keep the pressure on Shelburne at the summit of the Premier Division. Rory Higgins' side face a trip to the showgrounds to play an inconsistent Sligo Rovers team. Leaders Shells are away to bottom side Drogheda. Shamrock Rovers welcome Dundalk. Stephen Kenny's St Pat's go to Waterford, and Galway United are at home to Bohemians. All of those games kick off at 7:45 this evening, and we will have live updates with Jeremy Doherty here on Highland from the Finn Harps game. Arsenal have completed the permanent signing of goalkeeper David Raya from Brentford for a reported £27 million. The Spain international has turned his loan deal into a permanent move on what the club have described as a long-term contract. Raya made 45 appearances in all competition for Mikel Arteta's side last season as Arsenal finished the Premier League as runners-up to Manchester City. It's understood England manager Gareth Southgate is planning to change the formation of his team for Saturday's Euro 2024 quarter-final against Switzerland. He's likely to play three central defenders and add wing-backs to his starting lineup. Defender John Stones says they're ready to do whatever's asked of them.
I think we're really fluid in both, and that comes down to us when we get out on the pitch, that we've got to put it into practice. But yeah, I suppose it's down to the manager what he decides to do and what he sees their weaknesses and strengths that we can bring to the game with whatever formation we decide to play.
On to tennis. Seven-time champion Novak Djokovic is into the third round of Wimbledon. The second seed has just beaten Scotland's Jacob Fairley 3-1 on centre court. Elsewhere, seventh seed Hubert Hurkacz is through to the next round after Arthur Fields had to retire with injury during their match this afternoon. In the women's draw, Katie Bolter has beaten fellow Brit Harriet Dart 2-1 on number one court. Fifth seed Jessica Pegula, meanwhile, has been knocked out after being beaten by her Chinese opponent Wang Xingyu this afternoon. World number one Iga Swiatek meets Petra Martic shortly. In golf, Leona Maguire is the outright leader on day two of the individual competition at the Aramco Team Series. The Cavan woman is 8 under par overall and 2 clear of the chasing pack that's led by England's Georgia Hall. Seamus Power is in the field for the John Deere Classic. The Waterford man tees off at 10-7 Irish time. And finally, on the score programme this evening, we'll be taking a closer look at last night's draws for the Michael Murphy Sports Donegal Senior Football Championship. Oisin Kelly will be taking a look at the standout ties with former Dr Maguire Cup winning player and manager Brendan Kilcoyne. Plus, there's a preview of this weekend's All-Ireland Minor Football Final. We'll hear from the Oakleaf County of Derry, who'll play Armagh in an All-Ulster decider. And it's a busy night in the League of Ireland as well. We'll be talking all things Finn Harps with Joe Boyle, and we'll be going over to Finn Park for coverage of the Harps game against Kerry with Jeremy Doherty and Keith Cowan. That's all on The Score after the 7pm news this evening. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. With an eye, it will be windy this evening with some bright or sunny spells and scattered blustery showers. Fresh and gusty westerly winds will become strong at times in coastal areas. Showers will become isolated later this evening and it will be mostly dry overnight with a mix of cloud and clear spells and lowest temperatures of 7 to 10 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. The Taoiseach has been told that the most vulnerable defective concrete block homeowners are losing out again following the announcement that they can now avail of grants under the SEAI scheme. Last month, Minister Eamon Ryan announced that households availing of the Enhanced Defective Concrete Block scheme could access the SEAI grants to improve the energy performance of their homes. The HSE has once again moved to clarify the situation regarding the public health centre in Fawn after it was claimed yesterday that the centre is effectively being cleared out and patient files have been removed. It's been claimed the local nurse is being moved and the centre will be closed. The uncle of a Derry teenager who died after taking drugs on a night out is warning other young people about the dangers of experimenting. 16-year-old Caitlin McLaughlin died after collapsing at a music festival in Belfast last year. And a Donegal haulier says further reducing the speed limit for lorries on the Lifford to Letterkenny Road would compromise road safety and lead to more rather than less tragedies. It's been noted that a number of lorries have overturned or been involved in crashes on that road in recent months, particularly around the Galton at Manor Cunningham area, leading to calls for changes to speed limits on the route. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, you can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Farming News with Chris Ashmore. Good evening.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Donegal has the highest number of sheep in Ireland. According to the Department of Agriculture's Sheep and Goat Census, there were 526,658 sheep in the county at the end of last year. In fact, Donegal has 14% of the country's sheep population. Or to put it another way, 1 in 7 sheep in Ireland are in Donegal. At the other end of the scale, Limerick has the fewest sheep of any county in the Republic. Overall, the number of sheep in the country fell by 7% last year. Well, to delve into these figures a bit further, I've been speaking with Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal, and I began by asking him what the headline findings were in the census.
Yes, Chris, I suppose the overall standout one was the 100,000 head reduction in ewe numbers that we've talked, I suppose, a lot around there being lower optimism, and in particular last year was such a hard, challenging year, and what impact that had on sheep numbers. Now, a lot of people would have sort of predicted or forecasted numbers would have came back, but this is the first sight of, I suppose, to put real sort of figures on those predictions or forecasts. As you said, like a county like Donegal, the fall hasn't been major on a, say, percentage basis, 4,000 or 5,000 ewes less, 1.2%, same way Mayo. Galway actually had a significant fall, nearly 13,500 ewes less, 5%. And then the real pressure was in your dairy strongholds, your Wexford, Tipperary, Carlow, Kildare, Meath, all, say, numbers there falling anywhere from 6% to 8%, so real significant fall off there.
And what are the knock-on effects likely to be?
Straight away, you could nearly say that the effects have already been seen somewhat, in that if we look at, say, the sheep kill figures for the year to date, the hogget kill is back about 80,000 head. That would have been expected given that there was, I suppose, less sheep numbers in the system last year. But the lamb kill is already back about 65,000 head. And if we're to sort of take those 100,000 less ewes, even if we were to use a conservative figure of each one of those producing a lamb per ewe, you're looking at the kill being back 100,000 head. And that's not to take, say, the knock-on consequences for the year coming, in that as well as ewe numbers being back, there was 185,000 less what's categorised as other sheep, which includes, say, ewe hoggets, cull ewes, lambs that would have been destined for slaughter. But if you take, say, the ewe hogget replacements, that there'll be fewer of those around and fewer, say, mature ewes, you're probably looking into the kill this year being upwards, I'd say, of 200,000 less, possibly even 230,000 to 250,000 head less, which would be a significant, say, reduction in output and a significant reduction in value to sheep farmers.
Now, tell us a little bit about the actual way that the figures are broken down in the census, because there are a number of categories.
Yeah, so the main category is your breeding ewes over, say, 12 months of age. So Donegal is the biggest county, say, with that regard. So 363,000 ewes on the 31st of December last year. The next category then would be that other sheep category, which would be, say, sheep that would be destined, that would be carried over for slaughtering. It could be some cull ewes that wouldn't be in breeding flocks, or it could be farmers that will be keeping your hoggets for the big breeding sales, like your Donegal Cheviot, your Donegal Mule Group, that type of stuff. And if you were to look at, say, the figures in Donegal, Donegal is also well out on top there, 150,000 head, but that was down 10,000, so it was down 6%. So while there was a lot less than other counties, would say 6 and 17%, it still was a reduction. And then the sort of the final two categories are a count of mountain and mountain cross sheep and lowland and lowland cross. And I suppose what's really driving ewe numbers in Donegal is that from that 360,000, almost 200,000 of those are classified as mountain or mountain cross. And that comes from a large area of hill ground, and also from there is a high level of agricultural activity in Donegal, that if you take per square kilometre, per square mile, or whatever, say, metric you want to use for us, that sheep and suckler farming are the mainstay in the counties. Yes, there is small pockets of dairy around, say, Castlefin, Refor, that type of thing, but outside of it, the main sort of agricultural generating, sectors are sheep and sucklers. And the final one then is around, say, flock numbers. So the flock numbers would have eased slightly in Donegal, but there wouldn't be any major shift, say, from other years, and it continues to have the highest number of flocks. The average number of ewes is less than 100 sheep, which would be influenced a bit, I suppose, by there would be a high percentage of maybe part-time or smaller type sheep enterprises as well.
In terms of prices, what's the immediate outlook at the moment?
Unfortunately, I don't have anything, say, positive on that side, that we've seen 50 cents reduced at prices, say, this week, so about a tenner a head for lambs, or a quarter in the region of a base quarter, 750 a kilo, plus, say, your quality assurance or producer group bonuses and that. But so a lot of lambs moving in the region of 770 to 780 a kilo. If we're to look at, say, the impact of the last few weeks, I think we talked back around Eid al-Adha and there was a lot of demand around that festival. In the last 3 weeks, prices have fallen by the equivalent of about 30 euros a lamb. So there's been a significant hit to sheep farmers, particularly farmers that would have been maybe picking the first pick of lambs. A lot of, say, sheep farmers in Donegal, the mid-season producers, would lamb around the start of March. So they're only really coming now to picking lambs. So it's a disappointing situation when you've had a tough year, are looking maybe at record hogget prices and record lamb prices at the start of the year, but unfortunately there's been a severe readjustment over the last 3 weeks to a month, with anywhere from 130 to 150 a kilo coming off the price of lambs.
And finally, Darren, we've been talking about the sheep in the department's annual sheep and goat census. Just a word or two on the goat numbers. Any particular shift there?
No major shift. It's interesting on the goat side, Chris, that you have a few very big producers, and what I mean very big producers, upwards of 700-800 goats that would be aligned to, say, making goat cheese. Very few of those, say, flocks around or herds around the country. None of them in Donegal. And then what you have is a large number, like a few thousand, say, farmers that might have between 1 and 3 or 4 or 5 goats. And that's what makes up the bulk of the goat sector in Ireland, along with, say, maybe a couple of dozen of those larger producers. But no real changes on the goat side. It's I suppose, a small sector relative to sheep farming, and you'd probably say that it's a sector that is a lot of part-time or maybe producers that just have a few goats for, I suppose, I don't know what I say, novelty, but you'd probably say for the intrigue of having maybe something different, and there's a lot of those smaller producers as well.
And that was Darren Carty, Sheep and Schemes Editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, the 182nd annual OMA show takes place this Friday and Saturday. Meanwhile, the launch of details regarding this year's Clonmany Agricultural Show took place in the Ballyliffin Hotel last Friday. And what an evening it was, with a great turnout. It was confirmed that Daniel and Magella O'Donnell will officially open the show at the Pollen Green on Tuesday, August the 6th. It's a 2-day show and the biggest of its kind in Donegal. And speaking of shows, well done to all involved with the Finn Valley Agricultural Show last weekend. There could be 250,000 fewer round bales of straw on the market this year. Analysis in the Irish Farmers Journal has revealed a 10,000 hectare decline in cereal area. Difficult planting conditions and poor establishment of winter crops are the main factors behind plummeting straw supplies. The National Fodder and Food Security Committee is to meet on Monday to discuss the worsening situation on the ground. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notice says for this Thursday evening, July the 4th, the death has occurred of Dermot Kelly, 23, Crotna Geeha, Round Cleven, Dunfanaghy, County Donegal, formerly College Farm Road, Letterkenny. A private cremation will take place at a later date, followed by a celebration of Dermot's life. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McGuinn's Funeral Home, Stranorlar. House private pleas at the request of the deceased. The death has occurred of Anthony Tony Sharkey, Glencosh, Lifford. Tony is reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30, going to St Patrick's Church, Murlock, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on clonleaparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the renal unit, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or Kelly's funeral directors. The death has occurred of Mary Gallagher, Niamh McIntyre, Ross Nikhil Fanid. Mary's remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Saturday afternoon at 12:30, going to St Columbus Church Mass Mount for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Fanid Daycare Centre, care of any family member or McAteer Funeral Directors. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the McAteer Funeral Directors Facebook page. And the death has taken place of Jane McGarry Doherty, Sheila Sleevebon, Malinhead and Glasgow. Sheila's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there at 10:30 on Saturday morning for 11 o'clock funeral mass in the Star of the Sea Church, Malinhead, followed by interment in Lag Graveyard. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock with family time from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Sheila's funeral mass can be viewed live on the Malinhead Community Facebook page. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.